come to a place in their lives where they want to identify themselves with what Jesus has done within their hearts. So Roger, I'm going to invite you to come up at this point and take over this part of the service.
Son?
Do you need the podium?
Okay. All right.
Do you need the podium?
Okay. No, I don't need it. Amen. Thank you so much, Claire. And wow, so good to see everyone here. Wall to wall this morning. Yesterday at one of our family gatherings, some of our young people reminded me of a song that Jerry St. Cyr wrote 30 years ago. And the song said, "The youth are on the move." And is David here this morning, Svea? Yeah, Dave, you must remember that, David. My daughter Ruth, she'll remember that. You'll have to have you come up here and do that some Sunday, again sometime, and revive that. Do you remember it, Ken and Elaine? Youth are on the move. And I want to tell you this morning, the youth are on the move because four of the five people being baptized this morning are youth. And so God is still working among our youth, and he has a great destiny. Everyone that's here this morning has, the enemy has contended for their soul, but praise God, he lost these five people, and they are taking their stand this morning identifying with the work of Christ in their life. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ speaks to our history, with the resurrection being an historical event 2,000 years ago, but it also speaks to our destiny, that we too are going to be resurrected. And that's what gives meaning to life. That's why there's something to live for. There's something to press toward, knowing that we're pressing toward the end of the age when there's going to be a mighty resurrection, Jesus' resurrection being the first fruits or the down payment of the resurrection that is yet to come. And so water baptism brings all that into the present. And so identifying with Jesus Christ, we're going to be baptizing five people this morning. Moxie St. Cyr and Joseph Harder, Kia and Elise, Unra and Marianne Curtis. And so I'm just going to quickly just go through a short teaching this morning, and I'd like you, most of it is just scripture, and I'd like you to follow along with me if you would read the scriptures with me, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you actually have the text in your insert this morning, but to save time, I'm not going to read the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 15, we'll just pick up on verse number 12, and so I'd like you all to join me as we read together from 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12, all together. "The message we preach is Christ, who has been raised from the dead. So how could any of you possibly say that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing, and your faith is useless. Moreover, if the dead are not raised, that would mean that we are false witnesses who are misrepresenting God. And that would mean that we have preached a lie, stating that God raised him from the dead if he really, in reality, he didn't. If the dead aren't raised, that would mean that Christ has not been raised up either. And if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins, and your faith is a fantasy. It would also mean that those believers in Christ who have passed away have simply perished. If the only benefit of our hope in Christ is limited to this life on earth, we deserve to be pitied more than all the others. But the truth is, Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruit of a great resurrection harvest of those who have died. For since death came through a man, Adam, it is fitting that the resurrection of the dead has also come through a man, Christ. Even as all who are in Adam die, so also all who are in Christ will be made alive. But each one in his proper order, Christ, the first fruits, then those who belong to Christ in his presence. Then the final stage of completion comes when he will bring to an end every other rulership, authority, and power. and he will hand over his kingdom to Father God. Until then, he is destined to reign as king until all hostility has been subdued and placed under his feet. And the last enemy to be subdued and eliminated is death itself. So, just as to summarize what we've just read, this is taken from the Passion Translation. First of all, contrast and compare. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, what is the outcome of that premise? First of all, he says our preaching and our faith is in vain. Secondly, we are misrepresenting God. And thirdly, our faith is futile and we are yet in our sins. Fourthly, those who claim to be Christ followers who have died have perished. And then we have hope in this life only, and therefore believers are to be pitied if Jesus is not raised from the dead. And finally, in Adam all die, and there is no resurrection if Christ has not been raised. On the other hand, if Jesus is raised from the dead, he is the first fruits. He is the guarantee of something much greater to come. He is the first fruits of all who have died in faith. As death came by one man into the world, even so by one man came the resurrection from the dead. If Jesus is raised from the dead, then in Christ, not only him, but all of us have been made alive in him. That is true in our recreated spirit. And finally, if Jesus is raised from the dead, the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and death will one day come under the feet of not only Jesus, our risen head, but under the feet of the church, his body. Some people wonder, why is Jesus Christ necessary? Well, there's if we are to have a hope for the future, I know of no other person in recorded history who has risen from the dead. Now, let's continue in verse Corinthians chapter 15, and just I appreciate if you just join me and say these words, because you want to hear your own mouth speak the word along with mine. Let's say it together. I can almost hear someone saying, how can the dead come back to life? And what kind of body will they have when they are resurrected? You foolish person, don't you know that what you sow does not germinate or come to life unless it dies? And what you sow is not the body that will come into being, but it is the bare seed. And it is hard to tell whether it's wheat or some other seed. But when it dies, God gives it a new form, a body to fulfill his purpose, and he sees to it that each seed gets a new body of its own and becomes the plant that he designed it to be. The body is sown in decay, but it will be raised in immortality. It is sown in humiliation, but it will be raised in glorification. It is sown in weakness, but it will be raised in power. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. For it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, but the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual did not come first. The natural precedes the spiritual. The first man was from the dust of the earth. The second man is the Lord Jehovah from the realm of heaven. The first man, one made from dust, has a race of people just like him, who are also made from dust. The one sent from heaven has a race of heavenly people who are just like him. Once we carried the likeness of the man of dust, but now let us carry the likeness of the man of heaven. Now I tell you this, my brothers and sisters, flesh and blood are not able to inherit God's kingdom realm, and neither will that which is decaying be able to inherit what is incorruptible. Listen, and I will tell you a divine mystery. Not all of us will die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. For when the last trumpet is sounded, the dead will come back to life, and we will be indestructible, and we will be transformed. For we will discard our mortal flesh, our clothes, and slip into a body that is imperishable. What is mortal now will be exchanged for immortality.
And when that which is mortal puts on immortality, and what now decays is exchanged for what will never decay, then the scripture will be fulfilled that says, death is swallowed up by a triumphant victory. So death, tell me, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting? It is sin that gives strength, death its sting, and the law that gives sin its power. But we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. Just want to summarize now. What evidences do we have that our faith is not based on a myth, that is not based on a shaky foundation? What evidences do we have of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? First of all, the tomb in which Jesus was buried was discovered empty by a group of women on the Sunday following the crucifixion. Secondly, Jesus' disciples had real experiences with one whom they believed was the risen Christ. Thirdly, as a result of the preaching of these disciples, which had the resurrection as its center, the Christian church was established and it grew, and within 300 years, it overcame all opposition, including the power of the Roman government. That's what proves that Jesus is the Lord of all creation. He proved that he is the Lord of all government, because even the government decree that he should die could not keep him in the grave. And that's why Jesus' kingdom is the eternal kingdom, in contrast to the temporal kingdoms of this earth, which Paul says they're coming to nothing. But the kingdom of God will endure, and it, because it is based on the reality of the only king who has conquered death. Are there evidences of life after death, even if one confines oneself to observing the world of nature? There are at least two such evidences. First of all, every grain of wheat that is sown into the ground must die before it can germinate and spring forth with new life in a multiplied way. And secondly, the word for transformation in the new covenant is the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get our word metamorphosis. A caterpillar has to die to his old earthbound identity in order to be transformed into his new identity as a butterfly. Much of Christendom has limited the purpose for which Jesus died and rose again to the new birth, so that we will have the assurance of going to heaven after we die. That's a part of it, but in reality, the new covenant is a covenant of transformation, which includes the transformation of the entire creation until the earthly realm reflects the heavenly realm as broken hearts are healed and darkened minds are renewed to the Word of God. The practice of transformation is by replacing old thoughts with new ones. So the cross is God's sign to the world that everything in the old creation must die in order that the human race may now identify with the new creation, and water baptism is the outward and is the visible sign of the inward and spiritual reality of our new identity in Christ, where the old has passed away and the new has come. The new covenant is a covenant of transformation that, by way of our recreated spirit, joined to God's spirit, provides for the healing of our emotions, the renewing of our minds, the restoring of our souls, the redemption of our body, and the transformation of the entire created world. Our commission, therefore, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To all creation. The next time something comes to an end, remember this, that beautiful beginnings are always born out of painful endings. We read in the last chapter, Revelation 21, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" In Romans chapter 8, Paul concluded this in the Passion Translation, "So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life, flowing through the anointing of Jesus, has liberated us from the law of sin and death. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. Finally, Romans chapter 6, 3-6 in the Passion Translation, or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him, so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. So we'd like us to understand, as we're going to start to have testimonies now, if you could just put it back on the first slide again, Nathan, that'd be great. It does not mean that after we're baptized, we're never going to be tempted again, we're never going to make mistakes, but we go back to who we are. That does not change. Your behavior does not define your identity, but you have made a decision to identify your life with the life of Jesus Christ, and therefore God does not hold your past against you, because Jesus dealt with that at the cross, that we can live in freedom from fear, freedom from negative thoughts, condemning thoughts, accusing thoughts, have no place in a child of God. And so this has been the warfare for the minds of our people. But I'm seeing people from this church and other churches rise up in their identity and begin to operate in spiritual authority to declare who they are. And it's happening to men and women, young and old, and people from every tribe and nation. So, Sylvia, if you'd like to, or do you want to stand with Moxie when she comes? And she's going to start sharing a short testimony, and then we'll follow that up. Joseph, you could be ready. And then also, Kia and Elise, please. Thank you.
Hi, I am Moxie St. Cyr. My parents are Sylvia and Sean St. Cyr. I have one brother named Zevri. The reason I wanted to get baptized is because I really love Jesus and I want everyone to know that. But the one thing is, I don't read the Bible, but I do listen to Christian music, pray, and listen to Jesus. I want to sing loud and praise the Lord like everyone does at church. Now, I know I said I don't really read the Bible, but I still know some verses, and I know there's a story that's called John the Baptist, so I wanted to say a verse from that book in the Bible. Matthew 3, verse 15 and 16 says, "It will be right, true, and faithful to God's chosen path for you to cleanse me with your hands in the Jordan River." John agreed, and he ritually cleansed Jesus, dousing him in the waters of the Jordan River. Jesus emerged from his baptism. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him, alighting on his very body. And also, Jesus died on the cross for us, even though we didn't trust him, and he sinned, and we sinned. But he did it because he loves us and saved us from our sin.
Thank you. Joseph, if you could come up. And
The Unruh sisters could be ready right after this. God bless you, Joseph. Amen. This man has a call on his life, and he loves the Lord. And I've been really glad to get to know him better the last few weeks at the Rabbi Zacharias class. God bless you, Joseph.
Hi, my name is Joseph Harder, and I became a Christian at, well, a very young age. So young that I don't even remember the exact year, even. And for a few years after that, I didn't really act like a believer in Christ. During those years, I was mean to people around me, classmates, just anyone, really. And I didn't, show respect to many people around me. My faith was something I said I had more than I showed I had. A few years after this, I realized that I needed to change, but I thought that I had to be the one to change myself if I wanted the Lord to help me in any way. Doing that didn't strengthen or grow my faith at all. In fact, it was a huge hamper to my spiritual growth. That's not saying that the Lord didn't grow my faith anyway, but it didn't grow very fast. So it took a long time for me to realize that something else needed to change in my life. About a year and a half to 2 years ago, I started to realize that some things I was doing weren't right, but I was still a very slow learner. During the months that followed, the Lord opened my eyes to some of the things that needed to be changed in my life. He also started showing me how to change some of the things in my life that needed to be changed. Then about 4 months ago, things started to change really quickly. I started to actively pray and ask God to teach me and change me. Just over 2 months ago, I started to go to an apologetics course here at church. I really started to learn there and talk to others about sins in my life and the changes He was making in my life. During the course, I got to the point where I asked God to take control of every single part of my life. Handing everything in my life over to the Lord was not easy for me, and still isn't. But with the Lord leading me, I have grown spiritually in ways I thought were impossible a year ago. I have had to make some hard decisions to get to where I am today. Sometimes it feels like I'm not changing at all, but when I start feeling discouraged, I only have to think about the Lord and all He has done for me and all of the promises He has made for me and for everyone. I know that life may not always be so easy for me, so I will trust the Lord, for I know that He is real and He is good. He has made that very clear to me recently. I am and will be the Lord's forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Beautiful. Amen. Elise and Kia. Well, here we are. I like it. The light.
Hi, I'm Kaya Unruh, and I'm 14 years old. I've been a Christian for 12 years. This means, if you do the math, I became a Christian when I was 2. I've been told that one Easter morning, I ran into my parents' bedroom and told them I had just invited Jesus into my heart. So now, I think that it's pretty cool that I'm getting baptized on Easter morning, 12 years after I became a Christian. I've been thinking about getting baptized for a while now, and when I saw this Easter Sunday was going to be a baptism Sunday, I got pretty excited. I've been feeling that I should just take this step of faith and show everyone that I want to follow God in everything I say and do. As many of you know, I enjoy being outside and I enjoy hunting. Every time I am out in the nature He has created, I am just awed by the beauty and how He could just create all of this. This past hunting season, I could hear God quite a few times as I was sitting in the tree stand waiting for a deer to come out. One night, I heard God say that a deer was going to come out, and sure enough, one did. I shot it, but we couldn't find it. I felt I should have been disappointed, but I wasn't. It was a great experience that I could learn from, and I heard God. Another time, I was sitting in a tree stand, and I heard God say, "Tonight's the night. You're going to shoot a deer and find it." Later on, I also heard Him say, "The deer's going to come out on the left side in 10 minutes. So I waited, 10 minutes go past, and I look to my left and see a deer standing right there. It walked forward a bit. I drew back my bow and shot it. It hit the deer, and the deer ran into the field and then dropped. After I told my dad, we went to the field and saw it laying there. We didn't even have to track it. so we dragged it back to the truck and took some pictures. Then, just as we were getting into the truck to drive home, it started to rain. It was all God's perfect timing. I try to read my Bible and do devotions every night, but it always seems like I'm busy and I have a hard time doing that. When I do read the Bible, I get a sense of peace and awe in things that have happened and what God has done. I remember this one time we were out on a little boat on the lake. The waves were huge and I felt scared. Then I prayed and asked God to give me peace, and I just had an image sitting of Him sitting in front of me smiling at me. After that, I felt very calm and was at peace. I know that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, Job 1:21. Last September, my dog Ziggy died. I was very sad and wondered why it had happened. Then God told me everything happens for a purpose, and I just have to remember that. It's all part of His plan. He works everything out to the good of those who love Him, Romans 8:28. My parents have encouraged me in my walk with God. Going to youth has also helped me by answering a lot of the tough questions, having Bible studies, etc. I had a few verses that I like are Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Also Ephesians 4:2, God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. I love God, and I want to show it by getting baptized.
Thank you.
Yes!
Hi, my name is Elise Unner, and I'm 12 years old. I was 3 when I became a Christian. It was February 5th, 2010. Although I don't remember it, it still has a significance. I always try and read my Bible, but sometimes it seems boring and I don't want to read it. A while ago, I started at the beginning, and now I'm a few chapters away from the end of Psalms. They're interesting, but I find miracle stories more interesting. I'm always trying to remember to pray, but sometimes it seems like it's doing nothing. You must always remember it. You must always trust it will do something. But of course, outwardly showing that you are a Christian is important too. I always try and be nice and not get frustrated at my siblings and always trust in God. God has done lots in my life. He's healed me from sickness and pain. A verse I like is John 14:6. It says, Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Which always reminds me to tell the gospel to others who aren't Christians. It encourages me to not be shy about Him. Another verse is Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This verse makes me appreciate how much God loves me. To die for someone would be hard to do, especially if you're perfect and they're killing you for something horrible against the law. We all sin, and it makes you appreciate that if you didn't die, we would, because it all, as it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The last few weeks, I've been a little bit nervous with the science fair being due and not ready in the baptism. I asked God to come for me, and He did. I had a sense of peace. I know God loves me and does the best for me, but sometimes I don't always believe it. When our dog Ziggy died, I didn't understand and don't know His plan, but He did come for me. One day, our family was going to one of the last soccer games of Yandri's, the boy we had in our home for a month a few years ago. I wanted to get a few pictures. It was time to go, and I went to get my camera, but I couldn't find it. I looked everywhere I could think of, but it was nowhere. I was frustrated and looked for so long that it made everyone late. The game was good, and we came home, and I was sad I didn't get any pictures. The next day, I was asking God where it was, because I still wanted to find it. He said, it's under the couch. I went into the living room and looked under the couch, and sure enough, there it was. Don't worry, I still got some pictures at a different game. I don't know how it got under the couch, but I found it cool that God spoke to me. When I was younger, I always thought that I need to keep re-asking God into my heart. Then I realized it wasn't doing anything different than before. I still had the same connection with Him as before I re-asked Him in. God has been a big part of my life, and I'm glad my parents introduced Him to me, taught me things about Him. Sunday school has been a big part of learning about Him too. I've always enjoyed Sunday school and liked learning about Him. Youth is a great way to have fun and learn also. Once we had Bible study, but we didn't even do our Bible study. We just kept asking questions and questions. We got a lot of questions asked and a lot of questions answered. I love God and want to continue Him in my life. I want to show that I'm following Him, and that is why I want to be baptized.
Thank you. Amen. Now, the fifth one, if we were to hear her entire testimony, it would take at least 4 hours. Okay. But she's going to give us something that's going to be really impacting, I believe. So, Mary Ann, God bless you, and thank you for taking this step today.
Thank you. Wow. Excuse me while I take a moment, okay? I am no longer a child, no longer a slave of fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to a family, and your blood flows through my veins. That song has brought me to my knees more times than I care to admit. There's a few of you in this room, which, by the way, thank you for coming today. It means a lot to me. The fact that I'm standing up here on Easter Sunday getting baptized, I'll be honest, it frightens me. Not in the way you guys all think. This Friday was the first time I was in church on Good Friday, probably in about 40 years. Last year was my first Sunday on Easter Sunday in probably 35. The words I used to hear, unloved, unwanted, unlovable, possessed by demons, spawn of Satan. When I walked into this church on Sunday, at the beginning of January, and I heard Daniel preaching about the prodigal son, I knew he was talking about me. I don't know how that story fascinated me as a child, but I got it that Sunday. I got it. I am that prodigal daughter. This is not going to be my first baptism. I was first baptized as an infant. And what followed after that was a horrible chapter of my life. But I'm okay with that now. That is the past, and it just kind of made me the cool person I am today. Since walking through those doors in January, I didn't know that was going to be the call that God had in my mind when I sat in my car on the way to class 2 years, and I said to him, I'm done. I'm done with my life. I'm done. Take me and use me. I shouted it on the way to school. And the message came to me a couple hours later with a video called I Can Only Imagine. And that song came into my life a few years ago when I was on my way back to God. I just didn't know what I had done at that point. So I come up here quite seriously prepared for baptism. I withdrew. I prayed. I got attacked. I repented. God showed me some pretty amazing things about my life. And since giving my life to God, I've repented for things that I remember, things that I don't recall. And as the Holy Spirit has filled me, I have repented and praised some more. And each time I've confessed and praised, I've felt like another solid brick to a long misplaced foundation of garbage was being rebuilt. So my baptism here actually is symbolic in many ways. Coming from where I came from, the sacraments were very important. When I felt the call for baptism about 3 months ago, I kind of laughed at God. And I did. I'm not going to deny it. I'm sorry. I'm a skeptic. And I told him, I said, if you're going to bring me to your side, you need to be very clear. Because I can be as stubborn. And like I said, when you're faced with 50 years of torment, it is what it is, right? I'm not going to lie. And he knocked and he knocked. I kind of joked. He hit me upside the head with a few tunas along the way. But what kind of, you know, he kind of sent things to me along the way. And it was a verse again from Daniel where I remember him standing, somebody up here stood and said it. Satan has bound this woman, a daughter of Abraham, for 18 years. Shouldn't she be untied from the bondage of this on the Sabbath day? And I said, you know what? That makes sense. I have been a slave. I don't know what happened to me as a little girl. I've had people tell me that someone saw something in me at some point and got scared and bound me in some way. I know Satanism and all that stuff. If you believe in God, you have to believe in that. And that was a very powerful, whether it was through mental illness or whatever, it was real in my life. It was real in my childhood. It destroyed so much. So when I stand here today and look at that tub and jokingly say, I expect a bunch of little critters to jump out of there when I hit that water, I'm not joking. And it really genuinely scares me, because only 3 days ago I was delivered of things that I didn't know I needed to be delivered of. But that's the journey. People have been saying, Marianne, you're fearless. Why are you doing this? It's because, you know what? I've lived in fear 50 years of my life. I've been afraid of going to heaven. I've been afraid of going to hell. I've been afraid of living. And I walked through those doors terrified in January, saying goodbye to everything I've known of my... When you talk about transformation, my life has changed. And there's people that are sitting here going, yeah, we've watched it. And I'm not going to lie, I'm scared. I'm scared to see what God has. But you know what? He brought me to this church for a reason. He brought me to this family for a reason. My earthly family rejected me, but my heavenly Father has been with me since I was born. He was, knew my name when my birth mom rejected me. Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know, really? I wish you could in some ways, but I'm glad that none of you do. But thank you. That is what baptism means for me. It means true freedom to my soul. It means that not only am I saying hello, hello to God. Hello to all the wonderful blessings He has for me. But I'm saying goodbye to a very real part of my life. The damage, the horror, and everything. This is really, truly a rebirth for me. And thank you for sharing it.
I wonder if, Josh, if you can come back to the platform again now with the team. They're going to flow with us during the actual baptism. And we'd just like to take a couple minutes with each candidate. And I'm going to invite either any friends or family or anyone who just wants to surround these that are being baptized. We're just going to have a prayer over them. And then they're going to be baptized by different individuals. I'm going to ask... Moxie and Sylvie, if you'd come forward first, and any of your family that want to stand with you, just to surround you. We're going to have a prayer over you. Yeah. Just come and join them. Yeah, family members, friends, anyone else just wants to put yourself in agreement. It's a great honor to have Jerry and Jan here today.
Thank you.
Friends of many, many years. Thank you, each one. And... yeah, would you like to pray, Jerry?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, we want to thank you today, Lord, for being so good to us and showing us your goodness once again. And thank you for the faithfulness of these little ones and for their coming to you today and as an act of declaration and acceptance of who you are, Lord. Thank you for Moxie, and we love her so very much, and we're excited to be a part of this today. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Right, thank you.
Moxie, I just wanted to say, I remember when you stood up here with the mic and you prayed with power and with might. And I just want to say that that is a call that the Lord has on your life, and you are not a light to be hidden. You are a city on a hill. Yeah. And so we just say, praise the Lord, and may His purposes for your life be fulfilled.
Amen.
Moxie, Dior, Saint Cyr, do you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that He died and rose again for you? By your confession of faith, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Joseph, and if any of you have anything to add to this, so Lord, we stand in your presence today, and I thank you. This is a young man who has made a decision to follow Jesus. With the cross before him and the world behind him, there's no turning back. And so I just pray that as he makes this, has made this decision today, identifying himself with the Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, amen, that he will walk in greater and greater fullness, and you're going to lead him into the land of his inheritance, where he will inherit the promises of God to see your glory revealed to his generation. We pray you'll use him to that end. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, I also want to thank you so much for Joseph and his desire to serve you, because I know that it is very much in his heart to serve you and to be the kind of person you want him to be. Thank you for him, and I just pray your great blessing on him to serve you in whatever life holds for him.
Amen. Beautiful. Amen. Okay. Okay, Joseph's father, Peter, is going to baptize him. So we'll just give them a chance to, I'll hold the mic for you if you want to.
Joseph, do you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that He died for your sins, and that you will follow Him all the days of your life?
Yes.
Then in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
You got pain, He's a pain taker. When you feel lost, He's a way maker. When you need freedom, a saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker. When you got pain, He's a pain taker. When you feel lost, He's a way maker. Saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. You got to
saved. He's a chain breaker.
Wow, what a great representation from the UNRWA family. These people have been pillars in the church. They come from godly grandparents, and the faith that is in them has been passed on to their children and their grandchildren. There's a generation rising up. Thank you for your faithfulness. Would you like to pray?
Heavenly Father, as we come here before you this morning, we want to thank you for Kaya. And that she has accepted you and that she has a concern to follow you, Lord. We ask for your strength, for your wisdom upon her. And we ask that you would totally, completely bless her in her journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we also praise you for Elise. We praise you for Elise. We ask your blessing up her on her as well. We totally pray, Lord, that she will be committed to you, to love you, and to do your will as long as you give her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Unra, when you came into our room 12 years ago on Easter morning and stood by my bedside and said that you had asked Jesus into your heart, although you weren't quite 3 years old, it was fully genuine. You had decided to follow God on your own and have not turned from that choice. This choice to be baptized was similar in that you didn't need to have someone ask you, but completely made this decision on your own. You have always been concerned for people. Even this decision of who was to baptize you was difficult for you because you didn't want to cause anyone hurt. That shows your tenderness and love for people. There have been times when you have asked non-Christian friends to come to church with you, prayed for people around you, and befriended others. The love of God has shone through you. We know doing these things does not make you a Christian. Only the acceptance of what Jesus did on the cross for you already can do that. But God is pleased that you want to obey him and share him and his love with those around you. Your dad always tells you kids, love as Jesus loves. This is something you do. The verses Ephesians 3:17-19 hang in your room on your wall. And I prayed them over you many times and will many more. I pray that Christ will make his home in your heart through faith. I pray that you will have your roots and foundation in love so that you, together with all of God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and be so completely filled with the very nature of God. You are full of life and laughter. You like to be goofy and are usually happy, but may the joy of the Lord be your strength as you walk through life. May God's spirit in you ooze out to those around you. May you live your life using the passions that God has given you. I was privileged to have my dad baptize me, and I'm delighted that I have the honor of baptizing you. As you take this next step in your walk with God, may you know that I love you and I'm proud of you, and that God loves you and is very pleased with you. Do you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe that he has risen from the dead?
Yes.
Upon confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame,
it's not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are.
Elise, do you confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and your Savior and that He raised from the dead? Yes. Upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I'm not a perfect person. There's many things I wish I didn't do, but I continue learning. I never meant to do those things to you, so I just have to say before I go that I just need you to know I found a reason for me to change who I used to be, a reason to start over new, and the reason is you. A side of me you didn't know, a reason for all that I do, and the reason is you.
Father, I thank you for Marianne. Father, I thank you that you give freedom, peace, love, and joy, and you restore the soul of your people. Thank you for restoring her and bring her back and call her one of your children. Lord, I thank you that all that you do are amazing and wonderful. Thank you that what you've done through Marianne, it's for your glory and for your honor. Jesus, let me say thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood. You shed your blood that we may be set free. And there is power in your blood. Amen. Power to break every chain, to break every bondage. Yes. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you set her free. And you called her with your love. And she's never again. Jesus, I commit her again unto your hands. That as she has confessed, there is no turning back. The cross before her and the world is behind her. Lord, again I say the past is over. And you say those who are in new Christ are new creation. So she's new in you. Lord, I pray that this testimony of hers will go beyond these walls. Lord, I pray that you use her as never before to bring people who are sitting where she used to be. Holy Spirit, I pray that also you baptize her, move mightily in this woman. The fear be gone in the name of Jesus. Trauma of the past be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I pray that as she goes under the water, bury everything that is holding her in that water. Lord, let your blood again move everything that the enemy has brought into her life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.
Having been justified, Marianne, by his blood, you have been saved from wrath through him.
Yes.
When God looks at you, he sees not what you used to be, but he sees Jesus. His righteousness is your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. So this is the day of freedom. We identify with the life of Jesus Christ, who is her life. And his victory is a forever victory that can never, ever, ever, ever be taken from her. And that truth is setting her free. So let there be freedom as we rejoice today, as Marianne takes this step this morning, on this Easter morning, 2019, in the waters of baptism.
I pray for you that you just have strength and that you would have peace over your body and that you would just have a great day and a great year and that you would have a fun time and that you would have a great Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Marianne, you are a child of God and you are precious in his sight. Amen. And stop believing the lies. He delights in you. He has redeemed you. Now that's it. Now go forth in faith. In the name of Jesus Christ and his blood and his righteousness, the glory of the Lord is over you, my dear daughter of God, warrior. All right, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Ready?
So, Marianne Curtis, on this Easter Sunday morning, April 21st, 2019, do you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead?
Yes, and I do.
So, Marianne, upon the confession of your faith and in obedience to the command of Jesus of Nazareth, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes!
And I will live, I will not die. Resurrection, power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die, I will declare and lift you high, Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name. And I will live, I will not die, the resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will not die, I will declare and lift you high, Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank you for joining with us this morning and celebrating. Celebrating Easter and celebrating the new things God's doing in people's lives. I just want to close with one thing. In the world that church world that I grew up in, I kind of grew up with this idea that God had some people and the devil had some people, and kind of they were having a battle between themselves about who had the most people. But in John chapter 1, John, speaking of Jesus, said, "This is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Every human being born is born with a light. And today we just recognize, as Five people made the decision to connect to it. To connect to it. Because you see, that light dims. They made a decision to say, yeah, I'm connecting with this light. But everybody's got a light inside of them. And they just need to make a decision about which direction they want to go. What are they going to follow? Jesus is the light of the world. Thank you for joining us. Father, we just thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We thank you that as we go from this place to celebrate with family and friends in this time of the year, that we would never lose sight of the fact of what the season is all about, and that it really was all about you coming down to be unique in every one of us through the power of your Holy Spirit. That we are all significant today, that everyone here is significant. There is no seconds. We need not compare ourselves with anybody. We are all your children. You love us. And you have a great purpose for our lives. So not only do we speak a destiny and a hope and a future to those who identify with baptism today, but Father, we pray for fresh vision, the birth of new things to come forth out of things that have died, hope to spring up, because you're good and you never give up and your love is reckless towards all of us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Have an awesome day. Have an awesome week. Candles.
Grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out.